Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good, good. What a good looking bunch. Service one. All right. Hey, just before I jump in the word this morning, as we were in worship, I just really felt like the Lord wants to touch some hearts today. If you're suffering from pulmonary, the word I just kept getting was pulmonary disease. Anybody this morning that you have a COPD, COPD condition? Is there anyone? Can I just see your hand? If you're in the room and you have, how about pneumonia or asthma or any other over here? Okay, great. All right. Any other lung conditions? Can I just put your hand up this morning if you have any kind of a lung condition? I want to pray. The Bible says that God speaks to us, and sometimes he'll just do this. We say God reveals it so he can heal it. Just stretch your hands out to anybody that put their hand up, or if you're like, this is a weird way to start a service, and I'm here, and I have something with my lungs. I didn't put my hand up. That's okay. Put your hand just on your lungs right now. We're believing God to heal. He heals today. Father, I thank you. Pulmonary disease, Lord, that you're healing right now. Lord, that the stories will be that I sat in a service, we started it, and I heard something about God heals today. Lord, those who can't take a deep breath are breathing deeply, even beginning right now. Online, if that's you, just type it in. I'm stepping into my healing. I'm taking a healing today of anything that has to do with pulmonary conditions. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I appreciate the update, Christina. Thank you on Operation Heart. And I know that some needs have been identified for appliances and a number of other things as well. So your generosity will help us go all the way to help these five families with significant, we're believing for significant meeting of needs in their lives in this Christmas season. Hey, I want to begin this morning just by reading to you from a Max Lucado book. It's a children's book that he wrote. How many are familiar with Max Lucado? Many more hands than people who had lung disease. All right, so Max Lucado wrote this book, You Are Special. Let me read this to you. The Wemmicks were small wooden people carved by the woodworker named Eli. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses. Others had large eyes. Some were tall and others were short. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and gray dot stickers. The wooden people went around the village sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones got stars. Wemmicks with rough wood or chipped paint, they got dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could jump over tall boxes or sing pretty songs. Others, though, could do very little. They got dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And so when the Wemmicks would give him dots. When he tried to explain why he fell, he would say something silly. So the Wemmicks would give him more dots. He deserves lots of dots, the wooden people would say. And after a while, Punchinello believed them. I guess I'm not a good Wemmick, he decided. And so he stayed inside most of the time. When he did go outside, he hung out with other Wemmicks who had lots of dots. He felt better around them. One day, he met a different kind of Wemmick named Lucia. She had no dots or stars. The Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, and so they would give her a star, but it would fall off. Others would give her a dot for having no stars, but it wouldn't stay either. That's the way I want to be, thought Punchinello. So he asked Lucia how she did it. It's easy, she replied. Every day, I go visit Eli, the woodcarver. Well, why? Well, you'll find out when you go see him. And then Lucia turned and skipped away. What will he want to see me? Punchinello wondered. Later at home, he sat and he watched the wooden people giving each other stars and dots. It's not right, he muttered to himself. And he decided to go see Eli. Punchinello walked up the narrow path and stepped into Eli's shop. His eyes grew big. The stool was as big as he was. He had to stretch on tiptoe to see the top of the workbench. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here. And then he heard his name. Punchinello. The voice was deep and strong. How good to see you. Come, let me have a look at you. Punchinello looked up. You know my name? Of course. I made you. Eli picked him up and set him on the bench. Looks like you've been given some bad marks, said the maker. I didn't mean to, Eli. I really tried hard. Punchinello, I don't care what the other Wemwicks think. You don't? No, and you shouldn't either. What they think doesn't matter. All that matters is what I think, and I think you are pretty special. Punchinello laughed. Me? Me special? Why? I'm not very talented, and my paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you? Eli spoke very slowly. Because you're mine, and that's why you matter to me. Punchinello didn't know what to say. Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained. I came because I met Lucia, said Punchinello. Why don't the stickers stay on her? The maker spoke softly. Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what others think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you will care about their stickers. I'm not sure I understand. Eli smiled. You will, but it will take time. For now, come and see me every day and let me remind you of how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground. Remember, Eli said as Punchinello was leaving, you're special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop. But in his heart, he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground. Holy Spirit, I pray today that we would understand this first place to go and recover all, that we would recover our identity of who we are because of you. Jesus, I'm asking today that you would do a miracle through the preaching of the word to convince hearts and minds, Lord, not because I'm convincing in what I'm saying or, Lord, of what Max Lucado would write so perfectly in a children's story, but, Lord, because in our heart of hearts, we would know that we would know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither height nor depth, nor principalities or powers, nor things present nor things to come. But, Lord, that when we understand who we are, our identity, because you're the creator and you made us. Lord, set people free today in Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone said, amen. How many had heard that story before? I hadn't heard it either. Isn't it spectacular? Wow. Max Lucado. It's available online if you have grandchildren or children. You can actually get a picture book version. Otherwise, there is hard copy that's a children's story illustrated. It's really, really good. Recover All Part 2. And so last week we began, David inquired of the Lord saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and without fail recover all. Say it with me, recover all. Now, when David, last week we just talked about to get prepared to go and recover all. And this week I really want to talk with probably the highest level, the highest thing that each of us as a Christ follower needs to be intentional about recovering. And I want to show you this verse in a moment, but this is not a one and done. This is not a, I understand God loves me and I have a new identity in Christ. We're going to read some scriptures today. And if you've been around, you've heard them. If you're new to Christianity, you're going to say, wow, what amazing scriptures. But until they become a part of who you are, you will be behind the eight ball. By the way, there is a pool tournament for guys. Rack them up. You'll be behind the eight ball. In really growing in Christ and growing in the things that God has for you. And this I've really found in, and Christina and I have found in all of these years of ministry, close to 40 years of ministry, this is the number one thing that we see that if you will go after your freedom and after who God says you are, and recover all, recover who God made you to be, you will be successful in your fight against the enemy. There's so many root issues in our life that are negative that stem from this area. So when David decided that he was going to go and recover all, the Bible says that David attacked them from twilight until evening the next day. That's a 24-hour engagement. That's a one-day engagement. It's not a one and done. This was an extensive warfare. And our recovery of our identity, of who we are, who we are created to be, isn't a one and done, as I started with. It really is an intentional fight, and it will take a season, a concentrated season today, if you really feel stuck or lost or wonder who am I? Question that many people, many of us ask. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We gave you some resources today that you can continue this. I really could do a five-week study just on this area, and perhaps we will. There's a small group going on right now. Ray and Lucy are doing The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Myers. We highly recommend. That's on the recommended reading, along with some Neil Anderson books and some of the printouts today that are from some of the things he has published. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, learning to think differently about who you are. That word, that phrase, don't be conformed, literally means don't be cookie-cuttered by what the world says, the stickers that it puts on you, whether it's stars or dots. We're born, and as we're born separated from God, we get cookie-cuttered or molded by what the world says, what our parents said, what our coaches said, what the teacher said and spoke over our lives. But be transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God, what God wills for your life. Recovering your identity is probably, as I said, the most important thing you can do as a Christ follower. Everything else in your spiritual life will hinge from this very, very important truth this morning. And I can't overemphasize that, and I won't. I've said it. Every person is born with a stolen identity. We don't have an identity problem, like, I wish I could be like that person. Or, people will say to you, or they might say to me, hey, wow, you're really good at the stickers. And we don't see that about ourselves. Or somebody puts the dot on us, and I don't understand what it is that you're putting on me. And that really isn't the problem. It's that our identity has been stolen. Our identity was given to us by a creator, and sin stole the identity that God gave us. And that is the root issue of so much of our identity confusion. I need to find myself, people will tell you. But you will only find your true self in the one who made you. David said this, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. David, at an emotional soul level, began to understand the workmanship of God when it came to his hands, touching his life, informing him. Christine and I lived in Oshawa in the late 80s, and we were on a staff at a church there, and it's a GM town, and so a lot of the people that we got to know in that faith community they were GM workers. And often a little joke was told that if you were going to buy a car, there's a sticker that identified when the day it came off the assembly line. And you wanted to make sure you didn't get a Monday car or a Friday car as per the GM workers' instructions, because on Monday, nobody felt like working. And so if the car came off the line, they probably weren't really attending to the workmanship and craftsmanship that they should have been. And on Friday, everybody's waiting to have a weekend. And so they are being really fast about it and trying to get the job done. And some of us are sitting here this morning wondering if God made us on Monday or Friday, because we feel like there was some pieces missing or some things going on. And yet David says, wow, God, your workmanship when it came to me is awesome. I'm fearfully made. It means you were made with the greatest of respect. that when God made you, he stood back and went, wow. As he understood the place that only you could occupy in a lifetime that you would breathe air upon planet Earth, the people that you would touch. Jimmy Stewart didn't even understand it, and it's a wonderful life. The whole kind of the way that story is told, the angel has to tell, you know, show him that God has a plan, God has a purpose. We were wonderfully made, which means we are one of a kind. There is no one else that can do and fill the space of on planet Earth the way we can, because we were made specifically, fearfully, and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, or your workmanship. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all days, his workmanship. Remember in the garden when God created, he spoke and it happened. We've looked at that. I've never seen this before. I want to show it to you this morning because it was a new idea to me. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. And I've read that scripture so many times, but didn't stop to realize when it came to creating humans, God got his hands dirty and grabbed the dust of the earth, and his workmanship is perfect. That God touches, forms each one of our lives. We are made in God's image, by God's hand specifically, and then God's very breath was placed inside of us. When we're born again, that eternal breath of God enters us. Wonderfully and fearfully made. We're recovering our identity this morning. I want to set kind of a foundation for that, because we're not just biological. We are his workmanship. You know what? Satan hates that. And he came into the garden and he tempted Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we've looked at this a number of times, and so I won't unpack that, but I want to show you the verse. And Satan, in his temptation, says this to Eve: for God knows that when you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God said, you can partake of everything in life of the garden, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, I want you to see this. It's really important. Because what Satan is doing is having Eve question her identity. He said, you are lacking. You do not have enough. You do not measure up. And if you'll do this, if you'll eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be just like God. She already was. She already was made in his image, formed by his hands, breathed into the very life of God. She already had all things pertaining to life and godliness in the garden. She was perfect, perfectly made, lacking nothing. She already was just like God. And Satan said, you're lacking something. You don't quite measure up. And that lie has been perpetuated ever since amongst humankind. How God made you and what God gave you is not enough. Therefore, you are lacking. And we have to recover our identity, because this battle right here, this lie, the enemy will try to sell you and try to sell me every day of our lives. And of course, in the garden, they believed the lie. And when sin entered the human race and separated, they realized they were naked. Or in other words, the shame of who they were, separated from God. Now a lens, a coating of shame. I'm not enough. I'm separated from God. Covered everything they looked at, covered everything that they were. At that moment, their identity was stolen. And without God, the world says, your identity is inside you. Hasn't been stolen. You just haven't discovered it yet. And in the world we live today, that's going to like levels and degrees that we never ever dreamt it would go to. The suggestion of how far you are lacking, how far your identity can be questioned, and you just need to go inside and what do you feel like you want to be? What do you think you want? And find your identity inside you. Because identity is self determined. I get to decide. You get to decide what your identity is. Only to find out that that's going to leave you very empty and on a journey of realizing there's only one who can determine who you were created to be. And that is not a woodworker named Eli, but God our Father, who Eli symbolizes in the story that we read this morning. The story that we read, so the world applies dots and stars to try to help us identify. A number of years ago, as I was pastoring in another church, I met a man named David who felt really trapped in life. When I would sit with David, he wouldn't give me eye contact. He often, as he began to talk, would clear his throat as if he was trying to get my attention, as if he didn't have it. And he would look down and to the side. He would speak softly. He would begin to tell me that his life was not in a good place, and he was trapped. He felt like a loser of a dad and a loser of a husband. When I talked to his wife and his children, they didn't feel that way at all. In fact, his wife loved him dearly, and his children thought he was amazing. He felt like he was overlooked at work because every time there was an opportunity for a new position, he was overlooked. I would ask him, did you apply for the job? Did you talk to your boss? No, I just don't do that kind of thing. Continued to talk and minister to David because at this point we realized that this was really debilitating for him. It was as a Christ follower, I knew that Jesus had given him so much more, and trying to help him and minister to him to understand this trap that he was in was rooted in this very thing that we're talking about today. And as the Holy Spirit began to minister to him, and as we began to talk, it was interesting that he told me a story of his 8th grade graduation. His family didn't have a lot. His dad was a blue-collar worker, and they did the best that they could, but there just wasn't a lot of extra. But he had done really well in junior high. It hadn't been easy for him. He told me some of the stories about how junior high, for many junior high boys, is just an awkward time and a difficult time. He had done okay, and he was getting ready to graduate grade 8 and go to the district high school that was down the road. But before that would happen, there would be a great celebration at his elementary school. His mom, really tracking with him, said, "Let's go out and buy you a new suit." And he said, "A suit?" And his eyes lit up, and they went down shopping, and they found a suit pants and a suit coat and a shirt and a tie. And on the night he was getting ready, he began to describe to me the story. I felt so good. Like there were stars all over him. His mom said to him, "Wow, you look amazing." And said to him that he should go and show his father, who was in the living room reading the newspaper, where he always was after dinner, hiding behind a newspaper. Couldn't quite get his attention. David said that he went and cleared his throat to get his father's attention. The newspaper barely went down. He said all I could see really was his eyes looking over the top. Well, the most important thing in his life, that newspaper. He looked at me and he said, "Wow. You know, you can dress a garbage can up and put some ribbons on it. Still a garbage can. Put the newspaper back up." Of course, in that moment, I recognized and realized, as he continued with other stories, we were going to kind of focus on that one. In that moment, his father had spoken something over him that he believed about himself, that went deeply into him. After all, it was his father. After all, I mean, fathers are supposed to say the right things. Fathers know. Fathers can, you know, they know who their kids are. And that father had done such a great disservice. And David and I didn't focus on what his father had or hadn't said. And I wasn't about to try to minister to him by putting more stars or try to get dots off, because we can't do that. Only being in the presence of God can do that. And we're talking about recovering our identity, spending time with our Maker, and beginning to know what the Scriptures say, and hearing God speak those things into our life. When we began a journey with David, he would begin to see that regardless of what his father had spoken, God, his creator, was speaking something different. The truth of who he was created to be. I hadn't seen David for a number of years, and I was visiting that church some years after him. I mean, he literally bounded up to me, and he was smiling. He didn't begin the conversation by clearing his throat. He just entered into my presence and gave me a big hug and started talking, and his job was going better, and he had had a promotion. And man, by this time, his children are now adults and having children of their own. He was telling me what it was like to be a grandfather. And that image and that story so etched in my spirit, because I realized he did the work to recover all so that he could walk through his life in the healing of who God said he was, not through the dots and the stars, the confirmation and the cookie cutters, or a self-search of his identity. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Write that down. Put it on a card. Put it on your mirror. Put it in your car. But don't memorize the scripture for the sense of memorizing a scripture. But hear God say, Roy, now that you're born again and the breath of Jesus has come into your lungs, the new creation has come, just like it was in the garden. You're just like God. His spirit lives in you. The old of the stars and the spots and the identity stolen from you, that's gone. And now the new is here for you to discover, for you to live in, for you to journey in, for you to find out that the thoughts I have for you are amazing and the journey I have for you is incredible, says the Lord. But hearing God say that to you, your true identity is in the new birth, according to the scripture. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Not only created with an identity, but with a purpose. We say it this way at Harvest. We want you to know God so you can find out how to find freedom from yesterday. So you can discover that you have a God-given purpose and that you can make a difference with your life. The psalmist said, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me that your thoughts are, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Think about it. As David would come, the psalmist David, to worship in God's presence each and every morning. As you and I come each and every morning, sometimes we call it first 15 here. So we're reminded that as little as 15 minutes, and it'll grow as you spend time with the Lord. But as you sit in his presence, as you read the scripture, now as you read them and you stop to realize, I'm going after my identity. I'm going to recover all. I am not going to be defined by what life has tried to put on me. But I'm going to be defined by what God says about me. And David said he knew the vast, that God's thoughts were like the grains of sand. How long did he spend in God's presence to hear all of those different thoughts? Not one thought or two thoughts or three thoughts or four or five or six or 10 or 20. Thousands of thoughts at David. So that David could say this that you and I need to say, I am not what I possess. Because the devil's going to tell you you're lacking. I am not what I possess. I am not what others think or say about me. I'm not even what I do. So many of us find meaning and identity in what we do. I am the beloved child of God. Dr. Benner said this. In order for our knowing of God's love to be truly transformational, remember I started by saying, don't be cookie cutter by the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not mind over matter. It's spirit rising up, knowing that God's thoughts that are written in the Word of God. In order for our knowing of God's love to be truly transformational, it must become the basis of our identity. Our identity is who we experience ourselves to be. The I each of us carries within. An identity grounded in God. would mean that when we think of who we are, the first thing that would come to mind is our status as someone who is deeply loved by God. Like Punchinello, today God wants to put his hands around you and put you on the bench. He said, I've been waiting for you to come. Because those that recover all, here's where it starts, right here. It's this simple and yet this profound. I am not what I possess. I am not what others say. I am not what I do. That's a struggle for me. I'm a human doer. I've tried to earn stars my whole life. Perform for whoever. Perform for God. And then years ago, I was in the presence of God and I saw a picture, like a movie in my mind. It was a vision. They happen in milliseconds, and yet when they play out, they seem to play out in minutes. They don't. They just happen as we're quiet before the Lord. I saw a little boy. He's probably four, maybe five. And he was pulling on his father's pant leg. Daddy, Daddy. And he showed him a picture that he had made. The father appropriately looked at the picture. Wow. Tell me about your picture. The little boy told him all about it, all excited. That's amazing. Dad put it on in the fridge. I'm going to put it in the most important place. The father went back to doing what he was doing. Daddy, Daddy. And it happened again. Daddy, Daddy, again and again and again. And my thought in my mind was, this kid's obnoxious. What's the matter with this kid? And I heard the Holy Spirit say, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. Because I love you. You need to stop pulling on my pant leg. I see you all the time. I know you. And I have 100 of your pictures on my fridge. But that's not why I love you. That's not why I love you. I love you because of who I made you to be. I made you perfectly. I'll never remember being in that moment as an adult, for the first time in my life, grasping. And the journey began for me. He loves me. And another level of freedom is my life. Where was it discovered? My identity. I would say to people, I hate how God made me. And there'd be aspects of my personality that I would talk about. Today, I love how God made me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows it well. It didn't always, but it does today, because I made a decision to recover all. It wasn't always easy. It was a season. It was a 24-hour fight. But man, I wouldn't trade it for anything. All across this room today, I want to challenge us. If we're going to recover all, you need to look to God. You'll find your truest self in Him with every head bowed and eye closed, wherever you are. You, Mike, today, if you're in a place but you're just kind of wondering. You just might be stuck. You might be lost today. You might be wondering, why do I even breathe air? You might just really have come under the attack of the devil who hates you so much that he has lied to you and said, you're lacking. There is so much more you've got to do. God himself doesn't even love you. Look at you messing up all the time. Eli, I'm so sorry. God, I'm so sorry. What? No, I don't care about that. And all across this room, this would be a season of recovering who we are in Christ. Taking those I am sayings that Neil Anderson gave, but they've been popularized by so many other places. But you can take those home today. They're available. And maybe take one a day for the next number of days and weeks and focus on how God sees you. And at first, like Punchinello, you'll go, does he really? Maybe he does. And a dot will fall off. In Jesus' name, I pray all across this room. the miracle of growing in who we are created to be in you, so that we can do the exploits that the book talks about that's been recorded. David said, I am wonderfully, fearfully made. The thoughts of God are amazing. And he has created wonderful works for me to do. Just before we're dismissed today and in the quietness of this moment with every head bowed and eye closed, today, you're here. You've never connected this idea that God created you, that he loves you. And like Punchinello, the thought of talking to God, praying a prayer, I don't even know, would he even accept me? The Bible says he will accept you. In fact, he's knocking on our heart's door, wanting for us to respond. The Bible says that we need to ask God to forgive us of our sin, going our own way, repenting of the sins that we've committed. And he's eager and willing to forgive us of all. And you would begin your life with him. If you've never done that, I'd like to invite you today to make today your day of salvation. I'm simply going to count down from 3, 3, 2, and 1. I would ask you to raise your hand, and by your uplifted hand, you're saying today, while in the privacy of this room, every head's bowed and eyes closed, you're saying, as you put your hand up, I want to invite Jesus into my life. It would be my greatest privilege to lead you in a prayer. Online, you can text in right now, I want to make today my day of salvation. In 3, it's definitely for you. 2, and 1. Raise your hand today if you're in the room saying, I want to receive Jesus. Is there anyone? Just take a moment to glance because I want to see. Is there anyone today? I don't see a hand today. Oh, I do. All right. Thank you. Thank you. I love that. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else today? Let's just quietly stand up. Quietly, all of us just stand up. We're going to pray this prayer of invitation. Let's all stand together. You raised your hands. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with us today. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Let's all pray together. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I know that I'm a sinner.
I know that I'm a sinner.
But today.
I ask you.
Forgive my sin.
Forgive my sin.
Come in my life.
Come in my life.
Wash me clean.
Wash me clean.
I want to know you.
I want to know you.
My Creator.
I want to begin my journey.
I start it today.
I start it today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
We believe that if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you're born again. His breath is in you. You're beginning your new life in Jesus. Come on, let's congratulate. Beautiful young lady that raised her hand today. Let's sing this song and we'll be dismissed in just a moment.
A victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory.
See a victory.
You know, one of the greatest ways that you could go after the enemy and begin your season of recovering self-identity would be to come forward this morning and receive prayer. Our prayer team's coming. They'll stay as long as you need them to stay. We want to pray and partner with you. I can't imagine that there wasn't some part of this message that everybody would relate to. But if you related today of just knowing this is an area I've got to begin, I've got to begin this fight, I've got to go after who God says, I want to encourage you, start the fight today by getting out of your seat, coming forward, finding someone to pray with. You can stand in the aisle, there's a queue, and as soon as we're done, and we have other workers that will come as well, if the queue gets too big, we want to make sure that we minister over you today.
Father, we thank you for this day, Father. As we continue to recover, God, I just pray for every person here, Father, that you will bless them this week as they leave. God, they will continue their journey, Father, digging down and finding out who they are, God, and their worth. Father, I just pray a blessing over every single person in your name. We pray, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have an amazing week.